Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Lauren P. Razor live from, I guess, where Lauren P. Razor is. I just want to say good evening and happy summer, everyone. This is a show that Lauren Razor provides legal information, tips, and all kinds of things. And this is Razor Law. They call it Razor Law. I mean, I don't make up the law, but of course, you know, it's my perspective about the law. And this is a show that hopefully will provide you with information that's helpful to you and your family, and it would uplift you and share it. I'm trying to, my goal is to get 1 million people. Whoa, that's really ambitious. I mean, so if you share it and share it and share it. Now, remember, most important thing is this is a New York lawyer. And what does that mean? Just for folks out there who may not know, and I know we're real smart, so I know that you may not, you probably have this information already. But basically, you know, if you're not in the same state. So, for example, I'm admitted to practice law in New York State. I am not admitted in New Jersey. I am not admitted in other places. So you really, unless you get permission from the court, you cannot provide legal advice. And I give that warning for, you know, those out there who are listening. This is related to New York law. So if you're living in Florida or you're living in Detroit, and if you're living in all of those areas, you know, I can't really give you legal advice. My advice only comes from my experience as a New York lawyer, and not just the law book experience, but the application experience becomes very important. For example, I mean, this just came to my head. Why is it the legal experience, say, for example, child support? Some of the gentlemen out there want to know some issues about child support. Well, the first thing I said, did you know that you would have to line up in family court, family court in the Bronx, pretty much the line goes all the way around the corner. And that in many of these courthouses, if you're a person that has been asked to pay child support, or you're the person that's asking for child support, you have to line up all the way around the corner. In the wintertime, it becomes a problem. In addition to that, you think that you can go and get in there, in and out. No, you can't. You have to wait for your case to be called. All of that is of the actual what happens in the Bronx family court. Just like in criminal court in various counties, you're lined up around the corner, standing online, waiting to get into the criminal courthouse, although I don't know a lot of people of my friends that are waiting to get in the criminal court, you know, get into criminal court. The key is tonight what I was talking about, and I give it's just sympathy for many of the victims, not victims, but the folks that are down in Texas who are really having difficult time down there. And we're, you know, I was thinking about it because Florida is coming through now. You know, they're going to be just so many legal issues down in Houston and in various places where there's flooding. And some of the things we can prepare. So how do we in New York, we haven't had a hurricane lately in New York, but if we do, prior to that, what should we, how do we prepare for things that may come about, and we're going to have to be very proactive about certain things. For example, our personal papers, we can say in the Harvey scenario, people may not have ID. So in order to establish claims with FEMA, there may be some level of how do we establish ID. So the first thing is, you know, we have to make sure that our papers are in order. So some people are going to say to me, well, Lauren, we were not able to get papers. You may, in this time frame, we may have to have a significant family member maintain copies that are, you know, not in your state that you trust, your brother or sister or whomever it is, may have to have copies of some of your legal papers. I mean, that is just the reality. It's something that we don't expect. Of course, you should have steel lock boxes. So when you do get back in the house, hopefully those types of lock boxes are not, they can't get water in them. But a lot of the issues that are going to be facing those who are survivors of the Harvey hurricane are going to be facing legal issues establishing, if they weren't able to get their ID, establishing their ID. So what do you do to protect yourself in the future? Of course, some people, I know a lot of documents that I have, including tax records, are scanned on a USB. That I have. Tax return forms and things like that are scanned on a USB. Now, I'm not saying that you're able to get to your USB when things take place, but if you have to take some things with you and you have to leave a location, having your documents scanned on a USB, I'm not saying in a case in which you're just not able to get to anything, I understand that, but if you have any level of preparation, what you've learned is that you have to be able to get to things fairly quickly. And if your documents, including scanned birth certificates, scanned documents, I have scanned tax returns, a lot of other legal documents I have scanned. So you may want to begin that process of scanning some of your, on one USB, your birth certificate, of course, a copy of your driver's license, and not just the birth certificate, but a copy of your passport. And they should be kept all together where, even without a hurricane, are you able to get your hands on those important documents? Are you able in a heartbeat, to get your hands on your children's documents? If you are going around your house in a non-emergency situation, and you cannot find these documents as we speak today, if you're not able to find these documents, then you need to get busy and begin to corral and put those documents in place. And even if you want to give a USB to a relative that is not in New York, or a brother that can hold something for you, or sister, or whatever family members or someone you trust, you may want to be able to give someone an extra copy of the USB. The most important thing to understand, and the reason why I say this, is that this is a time for planning. And those of you who have not planned, important papers are ownership papers. those documents should be scanned. I'm not saying don't keep the original. Of course, keep them. But if you do not have them and you cannot find them as of now and it's a non-emergency, then you're going to be – let me tell you what the legal issues are. One, if you have a security deposit on an apartment, just say you live in an apartment, and you cannot prove that you've paid that security deposit because your papers have been destroyed, but you don't have your important papers about the rental agreement. You don't have papers that deal with insurance on your apartment. You don't have those papers handy, and God forbid they're not scanned on a USB. Most people keep USBs on them. They have them. I've seen them keep them around their neck. You know, obviously people think that maybe they can lose them, but they're no different than carrying your set of keys or carrying other ID that you can also lose. So, for example, if you carry your driver's license, certainly you're not looking to lose your driver's license, but the fact that you have it on you is crucial. It is important, and that we begin, those of us that have not been involved with such a massive hurricanes and floods, will know that those papers become important. Ownerships of your vehicles. These are other issues. A lot of the vehicles were submerged in water. Establishing ownership of those vehicles when you have an incredible amount of flooding means that you need to look at your documents and begin the process of putting them in all in one place. So if you have to get out of somewhere quickly, the most important thing, obviously, is to save your life. Okay, and that's all I'm saying. So it's important that we know what priority is. Save your life, save your family's life, your children's life. That if they're in danger, then we know you cannot make your papers a priority. If you have the time to plan and there's some plan where you're, you know, able, like I know in Florida, they evacuated. Obviously, there was time to evacuate. If there's time to evacuate, then it's important that you have those papers with you because, God forbid, if your home is destroyed after evacuation, then obviously you're going to need to show who you are. I mean, you're going to have a driver's license, the ownership of the home. You're claiming that you are the owner of the home. Obviously, your driver's license, your passport, your birth certificate. We don't even know that in these towns, like with Harvey, whether the place that carries, they have it in New York, the department, it's downtown in Lower Manhattan, that department handles all the birth certificates. I'm not clear on if that department is destroyed, what happens. You know, how do you prove if you need to prove lineage and birth lineage and so forth and so on for various reasons, how you're able to prove it. So having a birth certificate, a copy of your children's, and even it's interesting because I had a situation where I applied. This is really deep, but I can say that it's something to think about, but something that's not necessary. I applied for a minority business certificate, and they wanted my mother's birth certificate. Now, that's kind of interesting because they wanted to see what my mother put down as her race. I don't think they have that now. But so what I'm saying is not only having your children's birth certificates, if you have your family's birth certificates, because now it's establishing lineage. So a lot of times in these disasters, you're in a position where you're starting all over, which means getting federal funds, getting proper funds means to a certain extent you're going to establish, because and why is that? Because there's going to be, and this is another thing, if you have relatives that are in states that have been hit by a flood, one of the issues is going to be, you know, like I said, who is, you know, the person that owns the house. If there's a death, it's establishing, you know, who is entitled to a state. Life insurance becomes important because they're not going to know. There's no ID, or you don't have any identification, and someone passes away. They don't know if you're really the heir. This happens, if God forbid it happens, in a hurricane. So you're not able to establish that you're an actual heir. Establishing whether you're even a parent is important because you need to have birth certificates. So if you don't have your children's birth certificates, your children's health cards stacked in one place, that you at any time. So why are we talking about this now? Because it happened. Okay, it happens and it continues to happen. And the question is, are you prepared? So those are some of the things that I would do and begin the process of making sure that you have all of those documents in place, whether it's a lockbox, whether it's a plastic folder, whether it's a metal box or whatever it is, where at a short notice, that's what you can pick up and that's what you can take out with you. And again, it's not, you know, the priority is your safety. It doesn't mean, it certainly doesn't mean that you don't save yourself because you're going back in to get a lockbox. But as people were looking at the fact that the water was mounting up in their where they live, I believe there probably was time to pull together those items. The other part of it too is one may want to consider putting these items in plastic. So it's important to have a matter of fact, those of you who do not have Social Security cards should have Social Security cards. You know, those are important identification items. If you're able to laminate them, then you should laminate them. So God forbid, in a case of flooding, potentially those documents could be saved. Those documents are, you know, they could be saved. So those are the things that, again, you want to look at, you know, lamination issues or seeing if you can get a lot of your documents, including birth certificate, laminated in some way so that they will not perish, you know, in under flooding conditions. Some of the legal issues, and I'm hoping that our Bar Association, and this is something, you know, how do you get government benefits? You know, how do you get home repairs? All of that becomes, you know, just, you know, the coming together with whatever information you have to, again, establish identities. It's important to understand that even after, and say, for example, after a flooding condition, after what happened in Harvey, after what happened you have Katrina, you have to check your credit reports, comes an issue too, because there are issues of people lifting and taking your identity because you may not have any of your ID. So you have to also be careful that no one is utilizing your information if lost in, you know, a particular jurisdiction and someone else is using it, certainly you have to, I would suggest at some point checking your credit or having family members at a certain period of time checking their credit. Only it's not because I'm saying there is a, you know, why would I check my credit? I'm a flood victim. I'm going to be real with you as I have always been. As you're rebuilding, what I'm saying is you're becoming aware of what has happened. What is the full damage of what has happened? As you're rebuilding, you're making sure that no one has applied for benefits in your name and therefore has committed fraud in your name. All of that comes about when there's disaster. There's always people who can figure out how to take advantage of the situation. So in preparation for these types of potential disasters that can happen anywhere in the United States, we must prepare, and get your papers in order. The significant papers, I would say, is clearly important. And those papers are, as I mentioned, your birth certificate, your Social Security card, if you have it. Obviously, you should have your Social Security card. Also, you should have your and there are ways to get your Social Security card. You can apply online to get your Social Security card as long as you know your Social Security number. Oftentimes, though, they ask for your driver's license. Your driver's license should be, if possible, should be. They are hard from my driver's license. They are already plastic laminated. So if you have that along with any other significant documents that you can hold on to, then I would say start the process of doing this. Start the process. This, if anything, these types of situations create teachable moments. And those are the things that I can see that if we're in New York and we see what's happening around the country, it certainly is important to, you know, prepare yourself. You know, it even talks about replacement of wills. Say, for example, that's significant because a will, if it's destroyed, that becomes an issue about how to recreate someone's request or their final request. If people are incompetent and their papers are destroyed, they may not be able to get them again. You hope that now, for example, you may want to have your important documents left with an attorney. Hopefully that attorney has been able to secure them. But in a disaster such as this, it's difficult because you don't even know if you're able to even get to an attorney or get to a person. So really it depends on how comfortable you are with your family and whether you feel that you can exchange some of these things with your family members. But most important thing, please begin to plan, because even though it didn't happen in New York, it certainly we don't know what can happen. And I just wanted to give you some food for thought about preparation. The other thing I was going to say to you is those of you out there, I witnessed a scam. This is my second scam. See, the key is the older you get, the more things you see. You know, the more times you stick around, the more things you see. Those of you out there who are renting apartments, just be careful, and renting rooms. Just be careful because sometimes the landlords or the people that are claiming to have the ability to rent an apartment may rent an apartment that's already in landlord-tenant court. So I've seen and witnessed a situation where a person who claims who has rented an apartment from a realtor gets to the apartment and the marshal's locks are on their door. They paid their 1 month security. They paid their 1 month security, 1 month's rent, and they paid the broker's fee to find out that the apartment is actually on a list for a tenant holdover or something to that effect. So while the person was in landlord-tenant court, that person went to listed their apartment for to be rented when, in fact, they were just going to take the money, not pay the landlord at all, and move out. But that's a quick free legal assistance for you that is, of course, available to you if you're a flood victim. I gave that as much as I could. Certainly, I wish you the best week. And, of course, I wish you a great back to school for the also back to work. No more vacation right now. And I'm renewed and have a wonderful week. It is Razor Law once again signing off.